What's going on, everybody? It's Antonio, aka Dozer DH, the Hemo Gamer. I'm coming at you with a real special podcast today. I've recruited LA, Jay, and Caesar, my Hemo Life Bros, and we're going to be talking on the subject of pain management. Now, this is an hour-long podcast, so I want you to get some popcorn, get your favorite drink, sit in your favorite seat, and settle in, because this is going to be a good one. Now, I'm also going to ask that you may want to send the kiddies away from this one, because it doesn't get R-rated or anything like that, but we do talk about some pretty sensitive topics that may be a little bit mature for some audiences, so I'm going to throw that disclaimer out there, but let's get into it and enjoy the show. Let's just kind of jump into it, man. Let's not waste any time. Let's just talk about it. So I want to open up the floor, kind of introduce yourself real quick, and then give us what your big pain focal point is. Like, what's the one thing that irks you the most throughout the day? And then we'll just kind of build off that conversation. So Jay, let's start with you, and then we'll go to LA and Caesar.
Sounds good. Well, currently, main thing with me has been my lack of mobility in my ankles. It's been decreasing more and more, and I feel myself not being able to be able to run or jog or do normal everyday things with my kids.
I feel you on that. LA, what do we got for you, brother?
Yeah, man, for me, it's definitely my target joints. I have a really bad left elbow and right ankle. And most of it is just, you know, extreme joint damage throughout the years. When I, you know, growing up, I never really infused on a prophy schedule. I was always on demand. So at this point in my life, I just have a lot of pain with those joints. And with that, you know, it causes a lot of, you know, depression and anxiety and stuff like that. So that's kind of the pain that I'm dealing with right now.
All right. And Caesar, what do you got, brother?
Well, my big target joint right now is my knee. It's really holding me back right now when it comes to working out and staying fit, because it's really bothering me and just not letting me move as much as I should be doing right now. Just due to same as well for me, not taking my regimen every day as I should have every week. And as I grow older, it, you know, it just comes back and takes its toll.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for me, I will definitely say it is it's my right ankle. That's always been my problem. It's from just a young age. I mean, that was literally the first injury I got after being diagnosed with hemophilia was I fractured my right ankle. And pretty much since then,
wow.
It's been like – and it's like literally I got diagnosed, went on a walk with my mom, fractured my right ankle, like from the doctor's office from being diagnosed.
Damn.
And so that it's been since I was 8 years old, my right ankle has been messed up. And then I've been a big boy most of my life too. And that just doesn't help. And I can definitely sympathize with you, Jay, right now. Like, my ankles have deteriorated to the point where, I can't walk 3 or 4 blocks from my house.
Oh,
right,
man.
Now.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like kind of like the same thing with LA where I didn't treat prophy my whole life. I just started doing prophy in the last 2-3 years.
Mm. Yeah,
it was always on demand, and so now it's definitely causing some depression in my life for sure, because I can't go on walks with my girlfriend. You know, even when we first started dating 2 years ago, her and I would go on walks and do certain things, and now I can't.
Yeah, dude. I mean, right now that's what I'm doing every day when I wake up. Like, my only like the first thing that I think of is how am I going to manage, you know, my pain today? How am I going to deal with it? You know, and it's just like it kind of just takes over my entire life at this point, and it sucks. You know, yeah, I mean, and like we have families, you know, and like, you know, I know Jay's got kids, yeah. I've got, you know, a few kids, and like it's just when you can't play with them, you know, like the way you want to, it just really, really sucks, and it really gets to you. Kids were trying to wrestle with me like this past weekend, and it bothered me that they were like fighting me, and like instead of being like a strong dad, you know, being able to like wrestle back with them. I had to like yell at him. I had to yell at him and say, guys, stop it. Like, leave, like, don't hit me. Like, cause I was laying down and one of my kids punched my ankle, my bad ankle. And I'm just like, I'm like, God damn it. You know, like that's my ankle.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, you don't want to yell. Like, I didn't want to yell. And I wish I could play back with him. Like, oh, that didn't hurt, but it hurt.
Yeah.
we get to that age, you know, where we have kids, and like that's for me. I had my kids at the age of 30, and I just want to make sure that when I turn 50, I'm able to throw a baseball with them and still be able to do the things that I have to do with them as well as you know, growing up and part of their lives. I know I'm gonna be an old man when they're graduating, but you know, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun doing what I gotta do as a dad. And treating myself right and getting treated right to, you know, make it to 50.
Yeah, and for me right now, you know, I just turned 30 literally this past week. I just hit the 30-30. And nice. My girl and I are talking about kids. You know, we're like, hey, you know, it's down the pipeline for us because we're both 30. You know, for her, it's kind of more of a timing thing. But for me, it's a kind of a timing thing too, because it's like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to walk around with our kids. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to just fully enjoy their life, you know, chasing them around the park, you know, walking with them around the zoo even.
Yeah.
You know, just little stuff like that is what I've already started to see as like, holy crap, I need to get better. I need to find a way, like you were saying, LA, how to manage my pain on a daily basis. Because realistically, as hemophiliacs, I feel like 100% that we push our pain aside and we just keep going. And I was, my youngest brother is severe A, I'm mild A, and he just came over to my house, and you know, he and I were talking, and he's like, yeah, I got some pain meds now, and I'm doing this, that, and the other. And I was just kind of like, you know, you have to realize that we also can't just coat over the pain. We just can't be so medded out that we don't feel the pain, because that pain is there for a reason. That pain is there to kind of tell us, hey, something's wrong and we need to take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we get so good at painting on a fake smile every single day. And, you know, we almost trick ourselves, you know, and what we're not realizing is like the mental effects that are happening, you know, with our relationships and with our social life. And we have to be like extremely in tune with ourselves and aware of how people around us are, how we're making people around us feel, you know, like our girlfriends and kids and friends, which I think is one of the toughest parts to understand.
Just because we're all in pain doesn't mean we have to take it out on them. And sometimes we have the tendency to do that because the pain is so severe.
Yeah.
I think we just lost Jay real quick.
Yeah, we did.
But that's definitely a strong point to make, is that, you know, we do tend to push that out, and like we do tend to kind of outwardly express that to the people who deal with us the most. And I can very easily say, you know, I definitely have a temper issue, and a lot of that does stem from being in pain and not being able to communicate that to people. That's another big issue, is like, how do you communicate that, hey, I'm in pain and I physically cannot do this right now?
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
And not feel ashamed of that, and not feel like, oh, you know, this is horrible. It gets to the point where I'll lie to my parents about why I'm not coming out to their house for something and be like, oh, I just don't feel too good. And my girlfriend was like, well, why didn't you just tell them it's because you can't walk?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it's important to learn to communicate. Like, it's been like a brand new experience for me with my girlfriend, Allie. I've actually, like, you know, I've enjoyed our relationship, and, you know, I really see it going somewhere. So I'm really focusing on communication with her. And, you know, she's getting to the point now, because I am open, you know, being so honest with her about situations, where like I can sit on the couch and, you know, any other normal person can get up for anything. You know, it could be like, hey, will you get my phone charger, or, you know, will you get the fan from upstairs, whatever it is. And it's like, you know, she'll let me, you know, just be like, hey, she'll get up and do it for me, you know, is what I'm saying. And, you know, it's okay to, I think that's okay. You know, it's okay to let them know that sometimes you need help with the most simple things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome, we got Jay back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not sure.
Sorry, we lost you there, Jay.
I have no idea. It just booted me up.
Well, you're back. That's what counts.
All right, sweet.
Well, you know, going back to what LA was saying when it comes to having support where when you need it, for what you need it for, you know, it could be either your girlfriend, your mother, your friend, your brother, your sister. You just gotta always let them know that, you know, you're in pain and you need the help at the time, because they don't know what you're feeling on the inside. Sometimes they'll just look at you and be like, "Are you really in pain?" Or, you know, come on, you can get up and do it. And we know we don't want to just sit down and just say, yeah, we can. But at the time being, our bleeds are. Yeah. It depends on what kind of bleed we have and what we're going to do. And, you know, like yesterday, I went out to a theme park, walked all day, and I was hoping I didn't get my knee to start, you know, getting infected with all this pain that I was going through. And I was taking my time, walking very slowly and making sure it just wasn't affected all day. But I factored up before I went because you have to make sure that you do. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to feel it the next day.
And realistically, you're like asking for it if you don't. You know, I've learned that, like, if you don't just act up, like,
it's true.
Like, it's the simplest, stupid thing, but you're asking for it. Like, you're asking to, like, not be able to walk. You're asking to not be able to move. You're just, like, you know in your head, I should do this, but I'll definitely say as a man, for me, I'm always just like, I can push through it.
Yep.
And we're that's stubborn. When, like, yeah, you wake up the next day and, stubborn as hell, man. Yeah. Stubborn as hell.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so bad.
I mean, the learning curve for being stubborn for a hemophiliac is like 20 years. I mean, so it takes that long before you're like, okay, I'm going to listen to you now, buddy.
Yeah, right.
No, and I'll agree with that 100%. Like I said, I just turned 30, and I'm starting to realize, all right, I can't do that. Like, yeah, just not smart. Don't do it. Why are you doing that? Like, I have to ask myself, why? Why did you decide to do that? And really kind of, like, break it down to myself and be like, all right, dude, was that at all smart?
Yeah. Yeah, true. And the thing, too, about, like, you know, sharing when you're in pain and stuff, like with your significant other or whoever is in your support group, it's you know, misleading to them a lot of times because, you know, with us, 1 minute we could be, like, perfect and, like, walking around having a good time, and then all of a sudden it just, like, hits you, you know? Yeah. And so, like, they're looking at you like, you know, well, you were just running around, you know? You were just fine. I don't understand. And so, you know, that's it's definitely tricky.
Yeah, it's something that as I've gotten older, I've had to realize, you know, like last night, my girl went to a baby shower yesterday. She came home. She had a few drinks at the baby shower, and she wanted to come home and start dancing. And I act like I couldn't do it.
Dude, I could not. You can dance with the best of them, man. Who are you fooling? You can dance on your knees.
You can
dance on your knees if you want to. Swing on the pole, whatever, bro. I saw it.
Yeah, he's giving up my secret.
New Orleans. You thought what happened in New Orleans, but not anymore. We're telling the world. That dude can dance.
But that's, like, I do enjoy that. I do enjoy dancing, especially with her, because that's the one thing that I can do that I'm halfway good at, and, like, that gives me kind of some pride in it. But last night, she just wanted to slow dance in the kitchen, and I physically was just in so much pain that I was like, babe, I can't. Yeah, babe, I can't. Horrible. Babe, I can't. Yeah. And she, like, what you just did right now, like, was kind of what she did. She was like, come on, I know you can dance.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm like, no, like, physically, I can't do it right now.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to have to tell her that. But at the end of the day, I had to be like, hey, I need to sit down. I can't do this. I need to sit down. So I ended up sitting in one of our kitchen stools, and she just kind of danced around me. And that kind of sucked for me.
Yeah.
That really was like, I love her, so I wanted to kind of make her happy. But I was also really ashamed and very, like, I would never tell her, but I was really pissed off at myself.
Yeah.
Like, I was it sucked, man.
Do you guys ever have days where you wake up and your ankles actually feel rather good compared to what they have been, but just for that one day or half a day, and then it goes back to what it normally is?
Yeah, I would say that happens to me like once a month. I wake up and I'm like, oh man, my ankle doesn't hurt. And then I wouldn't even give it half a day. I'd give it like 3 hours into the day. It's like, nah.
No, I've had those days, Jay. And those days are amazing, you know? Like, you
wake up, they are.
It's like, no, it's like you, like, truly embrace it and appreciate it. You know, like, nobody else in this world can wake up and have that feeling like, oh my God, I can walk. You know, like, what is this shit? You know, is that, like, fucking heel clapping and shit? Like, I don't even know. Like, it's just, yeah. No, I've had that, and it feels amazing.
It does feel amazing. It does. Cherish those days.
So let's talk a little bit about how we manage our pain right now, because that's something. Yeah, obviously we all have those aches. We all have those things going on with ourselves. And like, what are some of the tricks that you use for yourself? What are some of the mental things you do? What are some of the physical things you do? And what are some of the things that you take, whether it be medicine, whether it be herbal remedies, as I'll call it, whatever. What do you do that helps you get through the day?
Jay, you want to go first, bud?
Yeah, sure.
Is Jay breaking out or breaking up?
Yeah.
A lot? Okay.
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay. Hey, Jay, I think you're breaking up quite a bit.
Horrible.
Yeah, if you're on that Bluetooth, that might be what it's
most likely is. Yeah.
I mean, try to just do your phone if it's the Bluetooth. I would.
Caesar, we'll go to you while Jay's kind of figuring out his Bluetooth sitch.
So, you know, growing up and taking different pain meds, you get to understand what you're taking is a narcotic, is a drug, and I'm not positioning on that again based off of what I've taken, say what's good for you and what's not good for you out there. But, you know, just like Jay was saying, you can wake up in the morning and you make sure you stretch, because, you know, you wake up and just say what's going to hurt today, what can you do to prevent that hurt from coming by every day, because it's always going to be a sharp pain, or it's either going to be a blunt pain, or your knee locking on you, your elbow locking on you, anything, you know, just locking, but it's going to hurt, because, you know, you got to get to the knee. But there is a lot of remedies out there. You know, I've dabbled with some other stuff out there when it comes to pills, and I'm not a big fan when it comes to THC and CBDs out there that you are recommended to see by a physician or a doctor. You just got to make sure it's the right fit for you, because there is a lot of things, pain meds out there that help you fit your daily life as a normal person out there now. Back in the days, I mean, THC seemed like it was a bad thing, like it was a bad drug, but now they're getting it for medical purposes out there. And I think it's the right thing to do when it comes to eat what you're eating, because, you know, by now they're announcing it a lot at these media conferences out there about cannabis talking and making sure what you need to do and what you take out there as well, so you won't have to hallucinate or panic or anything about it. People are scared when you try something new like that, because it's not recommended to do it. Well, you know,
LA, what do you kind of get into, LA? Since
you know, for me, it's something the management aspect is something I'm dealing with a lot right now. I mean, I've been jumping through so many hoops trying to figure out, you know, what's out there that I can take that's going to help me with this, because I'm getting to a point where, you know, I feel disabled. You know, I feel like, you know, mentally and physically I'm drained because of the pain. And, you know, I'm practically begging for help right now from everybody. You know, I've contacted my hematologist, and, you know, I've contacted people in the community. And, you know, even my hematologist recommended me to a pain center, and the pain center said that they don't help with my type of pain. And, you know, I mean, that, like, pissed me off so bad, because, like, first of all, the other person that I was talking to was a foreigner, so it was really hard to communicate. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, will you tell me what that means? Like, what kind of pain do you treat there? And she was like, not your kind of pain. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, like, great. Like, that's fine. So I've been taking it into my own hands, you know, like I've taken, Jay has sent me some CBD THC oil that I was rubbing on my ankle. I tried that and it helped a little bit, but it I don't think that's going to be the answer that I'm looking for. But you know, in the past, you know, I've taken pain pills and they do, that does work. You know, it's, if I take like a Percocet, you know, it'll help me for like that whole day, you know, like it takes all the pain away. I guess my only concern with that is, you know, can you live a sustainable life on, you know, on pain pills, you know? Is that really a permanent answer, or is that just like a temporary band-aid that you can only do for so long? So, you know, that's kind of like what I'm fighting right now. You know, I'm hearing a lot about different surgeries and procedures, and I'm just trying to get my head like wrapped around everything and figure out what moves to make right now. But other than that, like, you know, there is no management for my pain. You know, I don't have the lifestyle where I can sit on the couch, lift my leg up and put ice on it the whole day and just like take a day off, you know? So that's not feasible for me. When I work out, guys, though, like, I'm going to tell you, like, when I take my pre-workout and I jump into the gym, that is my sanctuary, you know? Like, that is the one place for an hour to 2 hours I don't feel shit because, you know what, it's the adrenaline or, like, the
endorphins, dopamine.
The endorphins, yeah, the dopamine, that stuff. Like, you get so fired up that your body just, like, it's on a high. You know, and you just forget, like, it just forgets everything and allows you to push through. The downside to that is immediately when I get home, I am crawling from my car to my house. And the thing is you know what, like, I'll do that though. Like, even if I'm not working out, I'm still in pain anyway. So I'm going to the gym. I'm going to be the strongest version of me possible. And if I have to crawl into the house every night, whatever, you know, that's, at least for those 2 hours, I'm being the strongest me possible.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Jay, it sounds like you're doing a little better on your sound now.
That sounds good now?
Yeah, it sounds better than it was.
That's good. Yeah, bro, we need to get you hooked up with some new technology, man.
I think so, my phone.
So if anybody's listening to this podcast and wants to hook us up with some some equipment so we can better serve you guys. Hook us up with headsets. Yes.
So yeah, Jay, what do you kinda do right now for your pain? I know you said stretching, we heard that part of it.
Okay, well,
is it just me or is he cut?
Yeah, he's cutting out. Jay, like, we cannot, like, for one split second we heard you.
It was
like,
really good.
Loud and clear. But
yeah, you're gonna have to cut off and then come back on again.
Alright.
So I guess I'll kind of delve into mine. Okay. I have gone through so many different types of pain management situations. It's kind of ridiculous in my head, to doctor prescribed to definitely not doctor prescribed.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, they were pretty much anytime a new Tylenol, you know, Tylenol 3 with codeine, Tylenol 4 with codeine, like whatever was coming out that was experimental, I was getting before it hit the market, because I just could not, I physically could not take just regular pain medication. It got to a point where I was taking enough pain meds where it would put a baby elephant down, and I was just still in pain. And to my recent, like, older years, you know, I went through the whole teen experiment with drugs and all that, smoking marijuana, all that stuff. Marijuana was kind of the only thing that masked it enough. And again, I say masked because it didn't go over the pain. It didn't get rid of my pain, but it made it so that I could at least function.
Yes, it did.
And get stuff done. Whereas, you know, I've always been scared of, like the narco and those kind of, like, extreme, the Oxycontins and the stuff. Like, there's no way in hell I could ever touch that, because it just, you're not a human when you take that. And I say that meaning, like, you cannot function as a normal person. You know, you can't operate a motor vehicle. You really can't walk around even when you're on Oxycontin. And the most extreme I ever went to was kind of in my early 20s. And I won't put anybody out there, but I was taking Flexerol. And it's a muscle relaxer. But the problem with that is when you mix it with marijuana and you mix it with drinking, and you pretty much just zombie out.
Yeah.
And it got to a point in my life where I would chew on a Flexerol pretty much all day, and I would not know what I was doing. I mean, I was young, so luckily I still live with my parents. I didn't, you know, I didn't have bills that really needed to worry about. I did go through like a year of my life where I just didn't work and I just sucked on pills. And it was, that was probably one of my worst years living, just because it was like, I took them because I felt like, ooh, you know, yeah, I'm partying, whatever. I'm just hanging out. But deep down, I knew it was because I was in so much pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one thing about taking pills. Once you take one pill, you start taking another pill because the other pill is like something to take something for the nausea. Then after that one, you have to take another. And then it just becomes a cocktail. Once that cocktail becomes an everyday, you know, thing to you, you get hooked. And it's hard to come off of afterwards. You know, there is a lot of pain meds that people are hooked on. And, you know, in the end, they choose marijuana to get off of it, you know.
No, absolutely. And I believe, you know, I'm a fully, my sister works in the industry. My sister works at a place, it's pretty much a call center. If you have questions about medical marijuana, things like that, you know, she's one of the people that you talk to kind of help you. You know, she's always telling me funny stories about, you know, oh, today at work, I helped a guy eat edibles for the first time, or like things like that. And it's great for her because my sister has really found, you know, like I said, marijuana's pretty much been a part of our lives for a long time. That just kind of is growing up in the city of Chicago. You grew up around that. So, you know, for us, it started as not a smart reason, but I definitely don't want to put any business of my sister's out there that she doesn't want, but she is taking her mental health very seriously right now. And a big part of her recovery has been medical marijuana. And I will even say for me, I haven't smoked in maybe 2-3 months. And it's been a pretty rough 2 or 3 months because I don't have that thing that helps me manage my pain. And kind of on the other side of that, it's I don't have that thing that helps me with my depression as well.
True as well.
Yeah, I just started taking depression meds again. I think it's like Lexapro is what I'm on right now. And you know, I messed up with it because I started taking it and I started getting results, and then I just like cold turkey stopped taking it. And man, like over the past like month or so, I crashed. And and Antonio actually encouraged me, you know, that's, you know, I appreciate him for doing that, but he kind of encouraged me to get back on it. And I did, and now I'm kind of getting back on track where I need to be.
And yeah, no, and that's great. And I think, and obviously, I was there for you because, quite frankly, I have been on depression medication now for going on 2.5 months. At the beginning of the year, I went to the doctor for extreme stomach pain to the point where I wasn't going to work 2 days out of the week. And when we were going through everything, he's like, you know what? It doesn't seem like this. Take this questionnaire. Take the questionnaire. He goes, okay, it's major depression. And it was something that I knew was there. I knew I had something, you know, something going on always, but I didn't really want to address it. And so when he said that, it kind of smacked me in the face. And it was one of those, like, I knew it was there. However, I didn't want to acknowledge that was going on.
So that was the issue?
Correct. Yeah, I didn't want to acknowledge that was the issue. And then it took another 2 months of me going to see a social worker and a therapist to kind of talk out things for them to be like, hey, you know what? I know you're trying to avoid taking pills. You need to take pills. And that's really what it came down to, is that final conversation with my therapist of them being like, hey, listen, you're doing great and you're very self-aware. Hemophilia makes us very self-aware. And they're like, hey, you know what's going on with you. You know kind of the stupid things that you do. But the problem is that your brain isn't making some connections. Your brain isn't seeing things that are good for you as good for you. Your brain isn't making these little – where my problem was the end goal. I always saw the end goal as the only goal, where I'm sure LA will tell you, you know, any progress along the way is something to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing your fitness journeys and when you're getting ready for your competitions, you have checkpoints along the way. Okay, am I at this weight? Am I able, you know, do my muscles look like this at this point? Do they do this at this point?
Yeah, definitely.
And those are something to celebrate. For me, I never put that together. And for me, if it wasn't the end game, there was nothing to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I was only able to encourage you because I realized for myself, hey, yes, I didn't want to take pills. Yes, that was kind of my worst case scenario. But guess what? I'm at my worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And
well, I appreciate it, man. It's helped me out a lot getting back on it. You know, I just, it's just, it sucks taking something every single day, you know, kind of like, I don't know, but I think it's what's best for me for right now, at least.
Hey man, I had to take my little purple pill right before we started this, and my reminder went off and was like, yeah. Hey, time to take your happy pill. And,
yeah.
And my girlfriend was like, it's not your happy pill. It doesn't like make you exuberantly happy. Actually, yeah. Sometimes you're grouchier on it, but
yeah.
it doesn't necessarily make me happy, but it makes my brain not think that everything's going to end.
But dude, and like the other bad part is like, I don't know about you, but a lot of these pills, man, they have side effects. So like, I know with like when I was with my medication, like sexually, it like affected me, you know, like it just like, I don't know. It made, because I think what it does is it like makes you so calm that you don't that nothing excites you, you know, like,
yes.
Like you just like, you know what I'm saying? And so like, it's weird. You start like questioning everything and it's just like, man, what the hell? Like, am I gay or something? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, but like, seriously though, all joking aside, like I've had to actually like look into it and stuff because, you know, it's an issue, you know, and you know, that affects relationships, you know, if like sexually you guys are on point. So, I've, like I said, I've found something else to kind of help me out with it while I'm on those pills, but I don't know. Have you ever noticed anything, Antonio?
Yeah. And it's weird because I chose to take, well, Butrin, which is bupropion. I chose that out of the bevy of them because it's the one that messes with your weight the least and messes with your sex drive the least.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I made that choice, but
yeah.
It was something that I didn't really realize till my girlfriend and I, you know, she kind of one day was like, why aren't you pawing at me right now?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you, like, she was like, I feel like I'm the one constantly initiating sex where very, very much so easily I would be the one 6 days out of the week, hey, let's go for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you always need that day of rest. The Lord rested, I'm going to rest too. But, like, you start to realize, like, hey, it's not even the fact that, like, I don't want it. It's just that, like, even if I wanted it, I wasn't making the initiative.
Yeah.
And it was so weird to me because, you know, not to get too personal, I'd rather sit in my office and jerk off than have to, like have to go through the process. Like, I didn't feel like going through the process. I didn't feel like working her up and, like, getting in the mood. And, like, I just – if I needed the release, I needed the release, and then I can move on with my life.
Yeah.
But it affected her, too, because she was like, hey – I can't be the only one who wants this. And I'm like, you're not, but you're right.
Dude, and like, even like, not even the meds, but like sometimes bleeds can really affect you, man. Like
100%.
If my ankle's killing me, you know, it's, man, I don't have any, like, you know, that's my foundation right there. I can't, you know, like,
yeah. Jay, you're sounding pretty good right now, bro. Let's get some input from you. So what are you using to manage, and then kind of what is it affecting, you know, as it's hard to manage it? Because obviously it's going to be hard to manage it. You're not going to be able to do it all the time.
What I use to manage the pain is marijuana, and as I've heard you guys been discussing marijuana a bit, it is also something that I use to manage the pain. It, you know, of course it doesn't, you know, fix the all end game, but it makes the pain, it just makes it numb and makes you able to move again for a bit, and it gives you, hey, it just takes the pain away. For my experience, it helps so much. Without that, I would be in so much pain, and it's just, you can call it a crutch, but you know, you look now in these times, you have your functioning output, you're functioning pill poppers, you know, people can function life, you know, on marijuana too. So it's something I've had in my life for many, many years, and it's helped a lot.
And so, as somebody who, like, I've used it for quite some time myself, but I also know that there's those times where you either have used it too much and it's just not having the same effect, or for whatever the case may be, it's just not working out for you. What do you kind of, when that's happening, Jay, how do you kind of see yourself? Like, what happens when smoking or, you know, edibles, whatever you take, what happens when that's not working for you?
That's when I go, just I break everything down and I say, hey, well, if I don't have these things, what am I to do physically or mentally if I don't have my crutch, my stool, whatever you want to call it? If I don't have that, what mental powers can I acquire to, you know, take care of myself and compartmentalize the pain where you feel the pain, but you just don't care it's there, and you don't acknowledge it, so you keep going. That's what works for me. It still hurts, but you just compartmentalize it well.
All right, so I'll actually ask Caesar and Jay a question, because I feel like LA, you and I are a little bit more open about our mental state with it and how it definitely has affected it. But like Jay, Caesar, are you going through, do you feel yourself as ever being depressed because of it?
Oh yeah. Oh, ton.
No. Not me. I've gone through depression myself. I've taken Zoloft to manage all that, and it was going to a point where I just didn't want to take stuff like that because it was hurting me more than it was curing me, you know? Taking THC and CBDs are for me, it's supposed to be a downer when it comes to, you know, getting your whole body, you know, jaw locked and couch locked and everything as well to just mellow out. But depressed, no, it actually helps me forget about my depression if I ever had it. Because we all go through depression, you know, when it comes to certain things in life that we're going through.
And so, Caesar, let me ask, because Jay got disconnected. When he comes back, I know he's got some stuff. Caesar, so how did you kind of come out of that? Because I'll be quite frank for you. I was one of those who felt like marijuana, THC, that was going to be my end-all, be-all. I didn't need to take anything else. When I got diagnosed with major depression, I was using pretty heavily. I was smoking as soon as I woke up, and then as soon as I got home from work. And the only thing that it was masking at that point was my actual feelings. So, Caesar, how did you kind of get past that? How did you, you know, find that place where now you definitely don't seem like somebody who is depressed, and you definitely don't come off that way, but you know, like you just said, you did go through that. So what was something that kind of flipped that for you?
I've always wanted to have kids growing up, dude. I've ever since I was 18, I told myself I wanted kids. I wasn't fortunate enough to have kids at a young age, thank God, because I wouldn't have been ready. But my brother, that is diagnosed with hemophilia as well, had kids, and I was going through depression, and the only way that I was, you know, forgetting about it was I was hanging out with my nieces. They changed my life. It's always family that you always got to look into when it comes to seeing what they could do for you or what you could do for them. As a role model, as a leader, you know, person, a figure to come and be a role model to the world as well. You guys see me out there, you know, having fun, always smiling, because I like to make sure that, like I said, like I always want to be that father figure, uncle figure, and a role model to the awesome, communities, man, that I serve, you know?
And you do it too, man. I watch you on Facebook, and you're just crazy busy right now, just always doing stuff with the kids and traveling, and everyone loves you, man. So that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, man. Trust me, I love what I do. You know, the kids always, everywhere I go, these camps that I get invited to, it's like I always make sure that I tell myself, you always got to leave an impact wherever you go, and make sure you leave them smiling when you leave, because if you don't, you didn't do your job right. You don't need to do
it. It's like that Maya Angelou quote where she's like, you know, people won't remember what you do, they won't remember what you say, but they'll always remember the way you made them feel. You know, I feel, you know, that's, I think Caesar definitely does that, man. I definitely admire that about you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, no, dude, I was just kind of going to pick off back off that. I was like, yeah, dude, I look at you sometimes and I'm like, bro, what the f- is this guy on? Like, how is he doing? Like, I don't have the strength to sometimes, like, here, I'm right now, I'm sitting in my office doing this, and it's like, man, had this started 5 minutes later, I would have been like, hey, guys, I got to cut it for tonight. I don't feel like,
yeah. And
bro, you just go ham all the time, so I definitely got to props out to you, man, because you're doing your
thank
thing.
You, thank you. I wake up in the morning. If you follow me on Snapchat, name dropping King LWD, KingLWD. you just wake up. You watch my Snapchats, and you're gonna be like, you know what? Let's do the same thing Caesar's doing by dancing, by smiling, by singing a song in his car. By you know, I mean, I try to do as much as I can, and I try to give out the energy that I have to everybody that I go out there to do for. I am still young. I'm 34, and I don't plan to slow down anytime soon. I just want to make sure that I keep going and going. And like I said, since I turned 30, I started feeling more pain. Like I said, but just like, make sure that you take the right meds, the right pain medication, and you stick to your regimen. You're gonna be okay, you know, and you're gonna have that energy every day. And make sure you get through it through the whole day. Because like I said, I do it for myself and I do it for the kids. Because In the end of the day, they're always remember you, you know. And everywhere I go, I make sure that I talk about LA. You're like, dude, have you ever seen the second strongest hemo out there besides me? I'm like, come on, guys.
we're gonna start calling you the hemo DJ Khaled, bro.
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, all right, man. Jay. I want to get to you because we're talking about it. So, how did you go through and manage that depression that came about from, you know, the pain and being able to manage it and not being able to manage it?
No, I have to admit, the depression for me is you could call it a daily occurrence, daily fight, daily battle. I compartmentalize it weird. It's strange the way I do things. Bipolar and depression run in my mom's side of the family, along with suicidal thoughts, suicidal tendencies. And I've gone through my downs, and they've been extremely down, where suicide's been a major thought, because sometimes you feel the world would just be better without you, because you're just going to be a gimp soon. What good are you going to be? And then, I've never attempted it. They've just been thought. So I've just been, I've done a lot of research and philosophy, psychology, theology, different areas of religion, where it's brought my mind to a new thoughts. New perspectives of things, and these new perspectives just help me compartmentalize the pain, where it's still there, but just as you guys I'm not sure who spoke last. My phone was cutting out a lot. The basis of what you were saying was you are using the sheer willpower of positivity to fuel your desire. It is that strength within our brains where we can use positivity to achieve the goal that we want, just because that's how strong it is within our brains. Our brains are supercomputers. They are capable of anything, hemophilia or not. Our brains are just the most amazing thing.
No, and I agree with you 100%. I'll actually kind of get into a little bit more about myself. So in 2015, I was actually incarcerated for the entire year of 2015. I went to prison literally the beginning of the year in January. I came home in December. And it's kind of weird to think back on it now. That was the healthiest and happiest I was in my entire life. I was getting my prophy dosing. That was the first time I was on an actual prophy regimen.
Because I had to, yeah.
Because I had to be. And Pretty much every book that was sent to me, everything that was sent to me was through my extremely loving and supportive family, who sent me business books and books just about switching, like you're talking about, Jay, that mental attitude. And as Hemo Khaled was saying, you know, just being positive. I was waking up in probably the worst place in the world for most people. Most people will never know what that's like. I was waking up there, and every day I would make sure to take 20, 30 minutes out of my day to meditate. I would make sure to take 20, 30 minutes out of my day to stretch, to just move around, to kind of just do those things for myself and be as healthy as I could be while I was there, because, you know, quite frankly, that it's not a very most people don't see it as a very productive place. You're kind of idle time and idle hands and things like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I did grow just an insane amount of patience, because when you're there, nothing runs on your time. You know, everything is on their time. Everything is when they tell you, and you don't have any control. So I had to give up the control in my life. I had to give up the I can do this. I can go ahead and do this. I can do this. I can do that, because I couldn't. I couldn't just get out and go take a walk if I wanted to. I couldn't just, go down to the street and have this new restaurant. I was eating Freddy Krueger meat for a year.
Damn.
And it was something that, realistically, had I not gone through that, had I not been in that place, I would not be doing this podcast right now. I would not have met LA. I would not, be reaching out to my fellow hemophiliacs, because I didn't really see myself needing the community. I had gotten all I needed out of the community. I had done all I could have done in the community. I didn't need it anymore. And going there, it showed me 100% that I need everyone who deals with this, because there are things I obviously don't know about.
Yeah.
And the only way I can learn those things is by having people in my life who do know about it and who have been there. Mm-hmm. And the only people who realistically I'm going to listen to are people who are in the same pain that I've been in. The people who deal with the same things that I've been through, and that's the hemophilia community. That's and not the community as, you know, has been kind of looking. The community has been weird for the last 10 years. That's the way I'll put it is. There's been a lot more pharma influence. There's been a lot more kind of outsider influence in the community for the past 10 years. And for me, that was the thing that turned me off from the community. So I had to really get into my brothers, really get into my sisters, the ones who actually face it. And I will say that today, I'm doing this podcast. I'm live streaming video games with another Hemo Bro to promote awareness. I'm doing these things because I've realized that I have something that a lot of people out there could need. And people out there like LA, people out there like Jay, people out there like Caesar, you guys have something that I don't, and I need to learn from you.
Absolutely.
No, you do have it. I'm going to tell you something. You do have it. You understand? Because when before I met LA, or before I met you and Jay, I was that person sitting behind the desk and looking at Facebook for a while, because like you said, it hasn't been the same for the last 10 years. Okay, but you know what's been the same is that the brothers and sisters have always been there in the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to a point where I saw LA and I'm like, you know what, I want to meet that guy, because I want to see who he is. I want to shake his hand, say thank you for inspiring others out there. I mean, we're doing it now when it comes to these little things that we do on Facebook. But I mean, I saved up my money and I said, you know what, let's go. I want to see him at an NHS. I saw him there. Saw him at another places as well. HSA, yeah. And fun guy to meet everywhere he goes, and he's over there. He's always traveling, sharing his story, and you know, giving out the story, sharing our stories out there as well as when we're going live on Facebook to do our infusion challenges and stuff. Because we're nominating people to do it live now. And
yeah, it's so awesome, man! It's going strong right now.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's fun because I mean, people done it already, but you know, when you nominate someone to raise awareness, that's what you want to do out there. You want to make sure that it gets done, and I nominated a pretty big name, and I hope he does it, and I hope he listens to his podcast, Mr. Chris Bombardier.
Oh yeah, I know,
Bombardier.
if you could climb a mountain, you could be confused for the rest of the world. Right?
Oh, man. No, he's done, dude. He retired. He's like, he did a mic drop. He climbed that mountain, said, done.
Out. Yeah, I was going to say, is he done? I thought he was doing one more, but I could be wrong.
Like, beat that, guys. MC's up here.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I think now. Go ahead. Sorry, man.
Oh, no. Like, just like while we're talking about management and stuff like that, like my last piece on that, like I kind of like Caesar brought it to me a little bit, was purpose. You know, I always preach about that, and I always say, give your pain a purpose. And so that'd be like my one piece of advice for anyone, is to like search for your reason why. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Who could you possibly help? And, you know, I have a destiny statement that I put on my Facebook wall, and it says, use adversity to change lives. And so that is like now my life, like legacy mission is, you know, whenever I face adversity, I want to think about, you know, how could I overcome this, or, you know, who can I help in the process of doing this? And also it's my guide for any huge life choice that I make, you know? So it's, you know, if I have a huge job opportunity or big decision to make, I ask myself, you know, if I take this new job, is it going to get me one step closer to using my adversity to change lives, you know? And it keeps me on track, you know, keeps me on that narrow path when in life, you know, we can go in so many crazy different directions. But I would say find your purpose, and that is a good way to manage the pain. It's not gonna cure it, because I fight depression, I fight suicidal thoughts, and it's real. You know, you're gonna hit these lows, but if you can just keep on focusing on that purpose, you know, you can keep on getting back up. You know, and that's what's most important.
That's good, man. And would you guys say that that's kind of where you're at as well, as, you know, you found that thing that keeps you pushing forward, and that's what's made your life better?
Yeah, I mean, what makes me better is it's the community. Like I said, you guys right now, we're doing this podcast. This is what's going to keep me going every day. You want me to do another one? Let's go. Let's do it again. You know, let's spread the word on anything else besides pain.
Absolutely.
There's other issues that need to be talked about out here, you know, and when it comes to talking about it, there's other stories out there that need to be heard, you know. And I've been to different parts of the states around the U.S., and I haven't been beyond that. But, you know, like I said, I'm pretty sure out there they want to talk to us, and we want to talk to them as well.
Yep.
Oh, wait, we got Jay back. So, Jay, what has been your kind of, you know, just kind of your piece of advice, your wrap-up for, you know, this kind of dealing with that pain and dealing and getting through that?
My piece of advice, as weird as this sounds, is, you know, learn to rewire your brain. If you can rewire your brain, you can find out what makes you tick, what makes you run. And then you can decide to reprogram yourself, which we call morals in these times. We use our morals to delegate our world, to delegate what we do. I always think what's right and what's wrong. As easy or as dumb as that sounds, I just think what's right and what's wrong. No matter what pain I'm in, I think what's right and what's wrong. As LA says, you know, whatever would be a good choice for him to move towards his goals, that's what he's going to do. I break things down to where what's right and what's wrong, just so it's where it should be.
Yeah, I agree with Jay a lot. I mean, and, you know, what Jay said will probably come off really, really deep to most of the listeners. But it is true. I actually, like 3 years ago, it was after my hepatitis C treatment. I was at my worst depression ever, all-time low. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was just like, why? Why should I carry on, you know? And then I started thinking, like, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have any skills. And then once I decided to finally, like, get back on my game, I was like, the person I am today, I am not happy with. The way that I think, I am not happy with. And all these things stem from the school you went to, the way you were raised, your environment, all those things. Those are the things that wire your brain and your decision-making process and your way of communicating. But I decided to step back. I took a whole year, guys. I literally lived in a cave. It was in my own apartment. I was single. And I started studying the most successful people, because the way that I was living, I wasn't thinking like these other people were. So I started studying people that I looked up to, people who have accomplished things that I wanted to accomplish. And I started taking their advice, and I would hear these like important quotes or whatever, and I would hang them on my wall. And I just submerged myself into this new environment. And I actually, what's really crazy about the rewiring of the brain, there was like a study done in like the School of London. They said that it takes 67 days to rewire your brain. And so basically, like, if you, and to like create new habits. And so I made a list on my wall of like all these new habits that I wanted to work on every single day. And I put a countdown for 67 days, and I made sure that I was like, I was reading a book every single day. I was going to the gym, you know, I made all these new, habits and in my life. And I really feel like it worked. I mean, after that time frame, I feel like my brain was rewired and I was ready to go to be, you know, my mission was to become a leader in the hemophilia community. And I really feel like that time frame helped me do that.
Well, I'll kind of round it out and end it with, for myself at least, I'm still learning. I'm still at that point, because I pushed hemophilia so far for so long. I really was at a point where I didn't care. I didn't care about my hemophilia. I was barely infusing. I wasn't going to the hospital. And, you know, LA, you said something earlier that was kind of funny, but it was true. You know, it takes like 20 years learning curve. You get like a 20-year learning curve on this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was definitely 10 years behind. And so for me, I would even say as close to my 20s, I still didn't really give a crap. And I'll be honest, I have a little bit of regret right now. I was at the time in my early 20s, like late teens, early 20s, I was in a band. I was doing some tours. I was in magazines for it. And I never once did anything for hemophilia in that time.
Yeah.
And now as I'm getting older, I'm realizing, hey, man, I need to give back to the one community that's always been there for me. And I won't even front, like, speaking to you guys today, you've definitely given me personally something to start working towards, because I, you know, Caesar kind of said it in a little, like, you know, pushing me kind of way, but it was true. I do have that stuff in me. I just have to start listening to it, and I have to take that 67 days and really transform my life, because that's what's important now. And I hope that, you know, anybody who listens to this, anybody who, you know, will sit here and listen to the things that we've had to say at this point, you know, I'm going to challenge myself. I have to challenge myself, and I have to be held accountable to take that 67 days to, you know, start working out, whether it just be little push-ups here and there, you know, doing squats, whatever. I have to start working out. I got to take the baby steps.
Let's do it.
Yep.
And I would definitely, anybody who ends up listening to this podcast, anybody who does listen, thank you for, you know, kind of dealing with us and listening to us and getting some feedback from us. But I want to kind of just put it out there. Challenge yourself, because I know I have to now. Like, I'm at that point in my life. I think for a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, was turning 30 scary for you? And I was like, no, it actually wasn't. It was a fresh start for me. I did a lot of stupid stuff in my 20s. I did a lot. I have so many crazy stories from my 20s, and that's awesome. But now the stories I want to have for my 30s are legacies.
Yeah.
I want to have that.
Absolutely.
Man, Antonio did this, and it added to this. Antonio did that, and it added to this. And,
yep.
And that's really what I want to have for my 30s. I want to have that. I want to have those DJ Khaled keys to success for my children. Yep. I want to have that moment where I'm waking up smiling, doing this, that, and the other. I can take that mile walk with my girl and not feel in pain. I can, I can have the drive to be active with her in more ways than just walking around, if you get my drift. Like, yeah. I just want to all around feel like myself. And I think that you guys have given a lot of great info for people to kind of get back to that place for themselves. And obviously you've given some advice for people to really heed. And I do thank you guys. I kind of want to get Jay back on before we close out. But is there anything else in closing you guys want to throw out about pain management or anything like that?
I mean, for me, I've got some, I won't go into too many details, but, you know, with our Hemolife group that we have, I mean, I really believe that we can all come together as leaders and ambassadors of Hemolife and really make a difference. I think that sooner or later, we're going to come up with some ideas to really help you guys out. I won't go, like I said, I don't want to spoil anything. I'll talk to the team privately about it, but I have some pretty good ideas, man, of things that we can do. And so, but if anybody else that's listening, they think that they can add some value and they've got the passion and dedication to help the community, I mean, give me a shout out on Facebook or Instagram, and I have an application you can fill out. And the more people we have on the team, the better. I mean, you know, we are the voice of our community, you know, and Hemolife is about giving you guys a voice, you know, like so much is managed and run by industry. And we just want to take back what's ours.
Absolutely. Cesar, what about you, bro?
Well, yeah, you know, just like LA says, like, just reach out to him, man. Everything that any idea out there is not a bad idea. It's always a good idea to share your ideas with us, because we want to make that happen for you guys. Like I said, we are a community of one when we all work together. And we are stronger than we look, and our voices do get out there when we share it on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, or just a simple podcast like this. I'm pretty sure everybody right now that's listening is going to be encouraged on something that we said or has made them change in their lives. And I want to go back to Tony over here, man. Dude, like I said, bro, you're not old, bro. You're still young. Yeah. You still have a lot of years ahead of you to do what you got to do, man. I didn't start coming back into this community until I was 29, dude. And I feel like I haven't rocked it yet, but, you know, I'm told that I do, but I want to rock it even more. And I'm pretty sure you're going to rock it one day.
He's the GOAT.
And, you know, I'll kind of pound this point home. And I think, unfortunately, we're not going to get Jay on before we end it. But I will definitely say that if, you know, anybody who's listening who feels like they have something to give back and they feel like I'll just be fair with you. Hemolife has opened so many doors for me. It's insane. And LA, I can't thank you enough for kind of not looking at me like I was crazy when you and I first started talking about some of these ideas that I had. And I really do appreciate the fact that you allowed me to present you with some value, some things that I'm good at, some things that I feel like I can give back in some ways that I feel like I can give back, and you've allowed me to kind of run with them. I mean, this podcast is one of them. You know, you were like, hey, I have this idea, who wants to run a podcast? And it was kind of floating around there for a while, and I said, hey, you know what, let me just jump on and let me get going.
I know,
and,
man. I appreciate you, bro, for doing it, man. You've got the radio voice for sure.
And Cesar, you know, I'm gonna call you out a little bit. We need to co-host some of this stuff more often, because I can't do it myself. I need that positivity for sure, bro. Because
hey, no worries, man. I'm always up for it, dude.
So that's. But again, you know, if you feel you have something that would bring some value, it may not be value for everyone, but that's not what we're all about. It's definitely about bringing value to the people who need it. Because some people might hear part of this podcast and be like, ah, man, I didn't really need that. But then they listen to something else and it really resonates with them, and it's something for them to take home and something for them to kind of start building off of. And as long as – the way I've looked at it just recently is, as long as I can reach one person with what I'm doing, that's enough. Because if I had that one person in my life who would have reached me, maybe I wouldn't have gone down the road I did. Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't be in the pain that I'm in. Maybe I wouldn't – you know, and there's all these shoulda, woulda, couldas. But at the end of the day, it's not about looking back. It's about looking forward.
Yeah.
It's about realizing, hey, this is what happened before, and now I want to give some value and I want to give something back. So absolutely, if there's anybody out there listening who feels like they got something to give, they feel like there's some value that they can give, don't be shy. Put it out there. Put yourself out on the line, because that's the only way that anything's going to get done. You know, a closed mouth don't get fed is a phrase that was said all throughout my childhood. And you can tell that because my entire family is loud. Like, we're all just loud and in your face. But it's true, man. You can't get what you don't ask for.
Yep. And also, guys, we've got Facebook groups out there too. So we've got a Hemo Life fitness group on Facebook, a Hemo Life mental health group. So go make sure to join those to get some more value from us.
Yep. All right, dudes. Well, thank you so much for your time. We had a good hour, a little of chatting.
Yep.
I'll make sure to get this going as quick as possible so we can have it up ready for everybody. But yeah, man, thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate the wisdom and the tidbits that you've given us today.
Absolutely. All right, bros. Take it easy.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys.
Bye, buddy.
All right, see ya.
Peace.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out, tuning in, enjoying the talk. Hopefully you enjoyed the talk. Hopefully you got something from it. I know I did. I'm real stoked on what could happen here moving forward, and I'm real stoked to be doing these podcasts. I'm hoping to make this a bi-monthly thing, at least once every 2 weeks or something like that. But for right now, they're just going to kind of come as I can put them out to you, and I really hope that something resonated with you today, something got into your core, and something kind of woke you up, or you connected with something. And if you did, let us know. Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like, what you want to hear more of, because we're always here to listen. Thanks for stopping by.